This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming at you the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us on the line from back in Kentucky, Colonel Ron Ray is a retired Marine Corps colonel. He was with the Defense Department. He was the Assistant Secretary of Defense during the Reagan administration. He represents a number of issues dealing with a constitutional right to prayer. He addresses this issue that God is under attack in America today. And there's an effort to take God out of our and prayer out of our military academies. And the people who are doing this really know exactly what they're doing, because they understand that America was founded as a religious nation. And you destroy the religious foundation of America, you destroy America. And here we are involved in a war. And what are these people doing? Why, they're going after the real enemy. It's prayer at the Naval Academy. Colonel Ray, thank you so very much for being with us. We lost Colonel Ray. I'll have to ask our call screener to get Colonel Ray back on again. Don't want to know what happened, but if they would, please get Colonel Ray back, and we can get on with the program. Anyway, we thought we had him there. But Colonel Ray has really been very much involved with this issue having to do with prayer in Kentucky. And you remember that they put up some sort of a display in public buildings there. And with those displays, why they had the Ten Commandments, and they had the Declaration of Independence, and they had Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, and they had three or four other things that maybe things from the Congressional Record that talked about God. And the Supreme Court held that that was unconstitutional, because you couldn't post that in a government building. It was all right to have the Ten Commandments on government land outside, but it couldn't be inside of a building. What sort of a decision is that? Well, Colonel Ray was very much involved with that issue, as he's been with so many of the other issues that deal with trying to preserve the Christian heritage of this country. And the Christian heritage of this country is under attack today. Colonel, are you there?
I am, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. Well, tell us, what's the latest things that are going on in this attack on the religious foundation of America?
Well, a lot going on, of course. And what's interesting is, it's no surprise, of course, this nation is not in a declared war, but it's at war in Afghanistan, Iraq. We've been attacked on our own soil on September the 11th. Our allies are being attacked, as it happened in London, and you would think we would be concentrating on combat readiness. We would be enhancing everything we could to truly support our troops. It wouldn't just be a slogan and a bumper sticker, but in point of fact, we're seeing the many of the groups that have been at the heart of the attack on the foundations of America as one nation under God, certainly America as a Christian nation. Most lawyers, most pastors, most Americans don't know that the Supreme Court held from 1844 to 1931 on four separate occasions that America was a Christian nation, and that's what's been under attack.
In many respects, I think the major battle is not being fought in Afghanistan or in Iraq or in London. I think it's being fought right here in our courts, because we have far more to fear from the destruction of the religious foundation of this country than we have from terrorism.
You know, I don't think there's any question about that. And you know, you certainly put me on to Rene Wurmser's outstanding book, The Foundations, Their Power and Influence. If you want to understand the 20th century and where we are, you've got to read that book. And
hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Colonel Ron Ray. And Colonel Ray is a retired Marine Corps colonel. He was Assistant Secretary of Defense during the Reagan administration and is certainly on the front lines of the battle that is being waged today. Not in Iraq, although his son is over there and certainly is in harm's way. But the greatest threat to our country does not come from the insurgents in Iraq. It comes from people in this country who are doing everything they can to undermine and destroy the religious foundation of this country. Because if they can destroy that, they've destroyed America. And the terrorists could never destroy us from without. But of course, the traitors who hate God and who hate Christianity within are doing a wonderful job, and they've got a lot of help. They've had a lot of help from people wearing black robes in the Supreme Court building there in Washington, D.C. So pick up the story there, Colonel.
Well, I will. Certainly, the Ten Commandments case was really about an attack on the Declaration of Independence and the foundations of state government as well as the national government. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, the stunning thing to me has been, and it's certainly the legal education in this America began to change as far back as the 1870s and 1880s when most of the lawyers who went to law school, and maybe Americans don't remember, there was a time when a lawyer went to apprentice himself in a law office and took the bar exam when he'd read the law with a lawyer. He was an apprentice and didn't go to law school, but the people who did go to law school, most of them went to Harvard Law School. And in the late 1870s, Darwinians took over Harvard Law School, and they began to train and teach every lawyer who came through Harvard Law School. It's been infinitely influential. In fact, the most recent Supreme Court nominee of last night, Judge Roberts, by George Bush, is a Harvard Law School graduate, began to learn and be taught that instead of law meaning fixed, but law had to, like people, had to evolve, and therefore it had to change as men evolved and changed. But that there's been an awful lot of interest groups, a lot of advocacy groups. Many of them were created in the early 20th century, some right after World War One, like the American Civil Liberties Union, others like, B'nai B'rith, the Anti-Defamation League, other groups like this that have had an agenda that's been hostile to the notion of America as a Christian nation. That was on display in the last 3 or 4 weeks. The Naval Academy has had a prayer, traditional noontime prayer, when the whole Corps of Midshipmen sits down at one time. And it was leader-led prayer. Sometimes a midshipman, sometimes an officer, sometimes a chaplain would lead them in a non-sectarian prayer, something that has gone on since the beginning of the Naval Academy. Similarly,
hold that thought right there for Colonel. We want to bring our other stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest, of course, Colonel Ron Ray, and he's talking about the tradition of prayer at the Naval Academy. And this, of course, is one of the things that binds people together. Men fight for God, they fight for family, they fight for country, but first they fight for God. And you take this idea of God away from people, and I'll tell you that it's been said there are very, very few atheists in foxholes, but religion has always been an integral part of the American military, and the people were loyal to God, and they were loyal to country. But, of course, this concept of God is being specifically attacked by traitors within our country who have a different agenda. And the enemy is not in Iraq. The enemy is not in Afghanistan. The enemy is right here. And until people understand that, you can't understand anything going on. And the very essence, the very soul of the Naval Academy and the United States Navy that is defenses is under attack today. And so pick that up, please, Colonel.
That's true. It's been at the Air Force Academy, and they've dramatically changed what's happened at the Air Force Academy. The sexual abuse crisis out there. They've attacked the notion that there's too many evangelicals and they're too much promoting a Christian view. And they've had groups come in from the outside to investigate. They've put pressure on the Citadel, which fought a bitter, long-fought battle when they forced women into the Citadel. Similar litigation involving VMI. They came after VMI before 9/11, and they took about 60 days off. I really thought that the attacks on the open attacks on the service academies and the military would stop after 9/11. The president's calling the whole country to prayer as commander-in-chief. He's authorized to use force. Congress is in prayer. And lo and behold, the ACLU, the American Jewish Committee, the B'nai B'rith, Anti-Defamation League, Citizens United for Separation of Church and State, and like well-funded groups, continued the attack on VMI, and they've been in 2003 in attack on the Naval Academy. And it's real interesting. People think that these lawsuits, the ACLU is a group of lawyers with a liberal perspective who passively represent people in politically incorrect circumstances. Nothing could be further from the truth. What's interesting that in 2003, they couldn't find a midshipman gullible enough they could be induced into to be in an ACLU client so that they could attack the Naval Academy in the courts. They simply couldn't find it, so they went away, and within the last 30 days, the American the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith had demanded once more that they give up the noontime prayer. When the Navy said, in part because of the historical research we put together for the VMI case in the Supreme Court and in the Fourth Circuit, which was a success regardless of what the media said about it, but B'nai B'rith has now announced that they're going to go to the Secretary of the Navy and they're going to begin to lobby and put pressure, and they have a lot of clout on Capitol Hill, on Congress, to make Congress force the Naval Academy to stop praying at a time when the nation is at war. And if you want to know the truth, it's almost beyond belief that they would press at this particular time so openly and so blatantly in something that I find, you know, to divest them of prayer. And when I was in combat, when I was on active duty in the Marine Corps, and I've been around the military for 40 years, one of the things you would hear people say when a unit was in grave danger, you know, when you'd say that a ship, a plane, a unit was really done for, the phrase you would hear is, that outfit doesn't have a prayer. And literally now, you would see these men attacking the notion of prayer, and that has been something that has sustained Americans going all the way back to the Mayflower Compact and at Jamestown, and you can see that coming around. Even in World War II, Stan, when social science, Carol Reese uncovered, you know, social science was going to be used to change American institutions. The largest social science study during World War II in the history of social science was to look at the American soldier combat and its aftermath. It was published by Princeton University in 1949, and they asked questions of men of all ranks and all services in both Pacific and European theater. And you know what? The social science revealed that prayer was selected most frequently as the soldier's source of combat motivation. Not what you hear in the movies, not what you hear in war stories about we were only fighting for our buddies. That's what held us together. It was my buddies fighting for the man on my right, mine on my left. That's what you hear and people say. But what was determined by confidential social science was prayer is the thing that sustains a man, a woman now, in combat, in harm's way. And that's under attack.
And, you know, of course, the thing is that I would anticipate that it would be when what our attention was diverted to what's going on in Iraq. And of course, we see the pictures day after day, and we're thinking about that. But it's just like it was in Vietnam. It was during Vietnam, and when we were diverted by the flag-draped coffins. We used to see the flag-draped coffins coming home there and the American body count. But it was during that time that they began to take prayer and God out of our schools. And while our attention was focused overseas, they transformed America. They found a woman had a right to kill the child, her unborn child. They changed our immigration laws. They began to centralize all power in Washington, D.C. But it was during that time that the Supreme Court, under the Masonic control, did so much mischief to undermining the fabric of our Constitution. So even though it would seem to be, contradictory that they would be attacking prayer today, I would expect that these wicked people would do that because they hate all religion. They hate God itself, although they hide behind B'nai B'rith and a Jewish name. This is not a Jewish movement. This is a movement by people who hate the God, of the Jews. They hate the God of the Christians.
Well, you know, you're really right about that. During the Michael New case, a lot of material was sent to me because I was doing so much talk radio, and you were one of those that was giving me an opportunity to keep the American people informed before the media stepped up and began to actually pay attention to what was going on in that illegal deployment and use of our forces in UN uniforms. But I got a lot of material sent to me. I was sent an article from Leatherneck Magazine, which is for enlisted Marines. I used to take it years and years ago. It was done in the early 60s. It was an article in which Walt Rostow is quoted as speaking at the at Camp Lejeune or Quantico or Paris Island. He's given a speech in one of the bases over there in the North Carolina, South Carolina area, and he actually, the quote in the article said, the purpose of the Vietnam War is not about stopping communism. It's not about the confrontation in Southeast Asia. It's about causing change in our way of life and in our society and institutions here at home. And actually, he's quoted as saying that, and of course, you know, Walt Whitman Rostow and his brother were raised in more than socialist homes. Some would call his parents Bolsheviks, and these guys were radicals, and they had the strings of power in the Kennedy and then early part of the Johnson administrations. And they actually were quoted in a publication that was their intention, as you just said. So that can be proven, that war is diverts the attention, costs billions and billions of dollars, and it permits that people during war will permit there to be large changes made in their way of life, which after the war seldom are returned to what they were before the war.
And that's exactly what McGeorge Bundy, Skull and Bones, Council on Foreign Relations, National Security Advisor to both John Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson, and instrumental in involving this in Vietnam. He said that in the January 1967 issue of Foreign Affairs magazine, an article called The End of Either Or, and it was, in essence, exactly what you've said. Vietnam is a diversion. That's why we never tried to stop the war. That's why we financed the North Vietnamese all during the war, you know, so that we could keep the war going. After all, if you didn't have a diversion, how were you going to change America?
You know, in handling the VMI case, we went back all the way back to 1774, and were stunned at the prayer books. We found identified 67 prayer books had been distributed by the government officially, the strength, the manly prayers, many in the name of Jesus Christ, which were distributed to our fighting forces in the War for Independence, the War of 1812, the Mexican War, the War between the States, the Spanish-American War, World War I, the Banana Wars, the Korean War, the Cold War. It seemed that by the time we got to Vietnam, it slowed down. But think about it. President Roosevelt called the entire nation to prayer in connection with the D-Day landing. And I've got a copy of a book published about that, a copy of the prayer that we look at. We put it in there for the Supreme Court in the Fourth Circuit in Richmond, Virginia, to see that he called. He didn't just leave. He called us to prayer, led us in prayer, and said everybody to pray for the supreme sacrifice of what was going to happen in the D-Day invasion, the 6th of June, during World War II. The most famous military prayer for most folks is the Patton prayer, because they saw that George C. Scott portrayal, excellent portrayal of Patton, and Patton wrote a prayer, or actually had his chaplain write the prayer, on his way to Bastogne in the Battle of the Bulge. But he prayed the prayer, but they don't really know, and I've got an article written by the chaplain who wrote that prayer, the true story of the Patton prayer. He said Patton prayed the prayer and then had me distribute that prayer on cards to every leader down to the squad level throughout the Third Army and ask them to lead their men in prayer. So it was leader-led prayer, and by the way, when the meteorologists, the weather men, said that the weather was never going to clear, or they weren't going to have air support, they wouldn't be able to get to Bastogne, after Patton and his Third Army prayed, the weather cleared, they had the air support they needed, they punched through to Bastogne before the 101st Airborne Division was wiped out. In other words, he actually said, "I urge, instruct, and indoctrinate every fighting man to pray as well as fight. Prayer prepares the way, action possesses the land." That's what Patton said. And the notion that we would try to take away something so necessary to the success of American fighting forces in time of war, when we're saying with the bumper sticker, support our troops, these people are undermining our troops, and they should be called on it. They should be identified. And your listeners, I don't ordinarily say write and call your congressman, but I think since they are going to Congress, I think it would be everyone who's in hears this should call and write their congressman and tell them that you're incensed that this would happen, and Congress should slam the door. This is a despicable act. It's an un-American act, and the groups promoting this should be called, and anybody who takes part in this ought to be defeated at the polls.
Amen to that. Well, I certainly agree with you. And I think that we should call upon the good people of the country who are contributing to these organizations to withhold their support. Because, of course, they hate, you know, the God of the Jews. They hate the God of the Christians. This is all about really undermining the religious foundation of America. They know exactly what they're doing, but they figure they're going to get it through while we're watching, of course, what's going on over in Iraq and Afghanistan.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This health journalist, Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol, 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And before I go on, Colonel, really that treatise that you put together on the history of prayer in our country really is so important. Is that available through your ministry?
Yeah, and you can. A lot of it's online. In fact, a lot of the history is an appendix put together in a brief we filed in the Fourth Circuit and similarly in the U.S. Supreme Court. Look at First Principles Press. That's LES Principles. FirstPrinciplesPress.org. FirstPrinciplesPress.org. They can look at it if you like. Download it if you'd like a hard copy. The address is on there. Write us. I think we give them out for $10 in shipping and handling, but you can download it if you want to do that. It is a unique history, and it also includes every inaugural address is excerpted in there. 100% of our presidents have used prayer and petition, have called upon the existence, acknowledged the existence of the Creator of the Declaration of Independence, and used prayer and petition to ask for his divine providence and blessing in their administration. Even Bill Clinton did so twice. And those excerpts are in that appendix. It's an excellent resource for anybody that you read it, and I think you could be a very effective in front of a group of Boy Scouts, a civic group, a church group, or something like that. And we've been dumbed down so much, we don't know our history, and the history is the best thing we have to cite our history, because history and facts are stubborn things.
And, of course, there is a definite organized effort to prevent the American people from knowing about the Christian history of America, and I recommend this to you very much. It is beautifully done, and you need to have the documentation to understand the significance of what's going on today. Because, of course, as has been said, when America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And is there anybody today who really believes that we are a moral nation, doing the right things morally? Or, as the Islamic leaders say, is America the great Satan, the greatest purveyor of pornography in the world, the greatest purveyor of illegitimacy, the greatest purveyor right now of torture, you know, and we are allowing, and we have allowed, at the very highest levels to allow these terrible things to have gone on. And where is the outcry from our Christian leaders? Where is the outcry from our political leaders? And, of course, it's deafening in its silence. Well, Colonel, what can be done about what's going on and this effort to take prayer out of the, and certainly out of Annapolis? And if they get it there, they will get it out of every aspect of our military.
No question about it. And I think it reveals, as you say, it's probably one of the most revealing acts. As I said, a despicable act, and something I would boldly say to anybody's face, an un-American act, for them to do that in time of national peril, national crisis, in time of war when troops are deployed overseas. So I think this is something that really has to be spoken out. Talk to your groups. This is not a partisan issue. It's a nonpartisan issue. It's not about who's in the White House, not about who's in the Pentagon. But I can tell you that Congress needs to know. They need to hear from the American people. They pay attention. I don't, you know, when Judith Reisman was confronted one time, on one of those talk shows, I've forgotten which one it was. She was
when she was on with Donovan, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was Donahue. Phil
Donahue, right.
You know, it's at one point when she finally put the Table 34 up, that your listeners may be aware of, from the Kinsey book, put it up there where you could see the systematic, called human experiments on infants and children down to months old, boys, young boys. She looked at that, and she looked him in the eye and the camera in the eye. She says, what American's going to defend that? You know, and Donahue was defeated on his show at a time when he made most of our leaders and most of the conservatives that got on that show look foolish. She just won the day. Well, I can tell you, when you point to this attempt to take prayer out of these service academies, of VMI, the Citadel, where we're training our future leaders, when you're trying to do that in time of war, what American can defend that? And I think you can be extremely bold, and this is something to speak out about. It's important and illustrative if you think of 2 weeks ago, this Ten Commandments case that was handed down. As you say, it seems to me it's coming on over too many walls. The ship seems to about to be sunk. But the Ten Commandments case was not about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments was not about church, religious liberty, wasn't about religion. The documents that were put up in McCreary County that I was involved in that case for quite some time at the beginning and put that up, and a resolution that went with it, was a recitation of the history of why America is one nation under God. It was to explain why "In God We Trust" is our national motto. Those documents were struck down by the Supreme Court 5-4 as an edict, and the Declaration of Independence was one of them.
And you have to understand that the other side knows exactly what they're doing. and they have used the courts to change our society. We want to change our society? Fine, amend the Constitution. They know they can't do that. They know the majority of the American people are good people who fear God and love America. But these other people have a different agenda, for their loyalty is not to America. It is to the establishment of a new world order and a new world religion. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Colonel Ron Ray as we explore what's going on today. America's under attack, but it's under an attack from within.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level. And the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background to this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Colonel Ron Ray, who was very much involved with the Kentucky case. And, of course, you remember that the Supreme Court said, oh, we can't show those documents. They talk about God. Why, there's the Declaration of Independence there. There is the Ten Commandments there. And what else did you have in that exhibit?
Well, the national motto. We had two quotes from Abraham Lincoln, who was the only president born in Kentucky, which seems to be a perfectly legitimate thing to put up on the wall. I found in the course of doing the work in the case, I went back and reread the prayer case, Engel versus Vitale, that took prayer out of the ended centuries of school children being led in or participating in daily prayer in their schools. In public schools, that was 1962, without a single precedent, no authority was cited, it was an edict, 6-3. There was a footnote in there. In light of the historic documents being taken down, the attempts to suppress school children who were invited to a 9/11, post-9/11 event, who were going to sing about the Declaration of Independence and Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA, were disinvited, told not to come because those songs were inappropriate. This is a quote from the 1962 Engle versus Vitale case, footnote 21, and here's what it says. There is, of course, nothing in this decision reached here that is inconsistent with the fact that schoolchildren and others are officially encouraged to express love for our country by reciting historical documents, such as the Declaration of Independence, which does contain references to the deity, or by singing officially espoused anthems, such as the National Anthem, which include the composer's profession of faith in a supreme being, or with the fact that there are many manifestations in public life of our recognition and belief in God. Such patriotic or ceremonial exercise bear no resemblance to the religious exercises and prayer that the state of New York has sponsored in these public schools. But they're saying there's nothing wrong with the documents in the Declaration of Independence. But that was then, this is now.
And I think people have to understand what this is, that they're doing it very slowly, very methodically, very intentionally, eroding just a little bit here and a little bit there, until eventually there will be nothing left of the religious foundation of this country.
Dan, do you remember, and I know you've got a copy of this, and you may have sent me this originally, in 1963 in January, there was a congressman from Florida named Herlong in the House of Representatives who asked that the current goals of the communist movement insofar as America were concerned be included, and he read them on the House of floor and included them in the congressional record, and some of these were taken from The Naked Communists by Cleon Skousen. I know you have and carried that book, and I know you have it, but it was very interesting because there were 45 objectives, and if you read those objectives, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Infiltrate the churches. Replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible. Emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crush. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principles of separation of church and state. Discredit the American Constitution. Discredit the American founding fathers. Present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. Support socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the cultural education, social agency, welfare programs, mental health clinics, and medicine. Eliminate all laws or procedures which interfere with the operation of the communist apparatus. Eliminate the House Committee on Un-American Activities. Infiltrate and gain control of unions. Discredit and eventually dismantle the. It goes on. Every one of these things is mentioned, have occurred, or are about to occur, or in the process of occurring, and that was all laid down in the 50s and reiterated as early as January 10th, 1963, in the House in the Congressional Records, page A34 and A35 from January 10th, 1963, and I'm sure you can get that from Radio Liberty.
Yeah, we'd be glad to make that available. We certainly have that. It comes right out of The Naked Capitalist. But I think it's so vitally important that people do understand that what is happening is planned, it is orchestrated, and you're not going to read about that in the newspapers because the media is controlled by five men who control five major corporations, and they dominate 95% of the media in the United States today, and that's covered in a beautiful book we carry called The New Media Monopoly. In fact, Colonel Ray called my attention to that book some time ago.
Well, there's no question. You know, it's a left-winger, a Pulitzer Prize winner from the Washington Post, who was concerned in the late 70s when it was 54 mostly national companies that controlled movies, television, radio, the mass media of all kinds. And he was concerned, and he wrote a book called The Media Monopoly, and there have been six editions since that time, and as you pointed out, now it's five multinational companies. And you might ask, when your pastor tells you that he can't preach on political issues or he can't endorse a candidate from the pulpit, that'd be unconstitutional, you might ask why Bertelsmann, the big German-based multinational company, can put millions of dollars behind a candidate or against a candidate in an American election with no limits whatsoever applying against him. Why doesn't your pastor enjoy the same amount of free speech as these multinational companies do to do whatever they like.
And of course, Bertelsmann is not an American corporation. So the people have to understand that a great deal of the control over the American media comes from sources outside the United States.
Absolutely, it is. And you can get a viewpoint of this if you're listening to Radio Liberty for the first time, or you haven't not familiar with Dr. Monteith's work. I would simply encourage you, if you had to pick up one book, read The Foundations, Their Power and Influence. It takes it all the way back to the early 1908 foundation of the Carnegie Institute, the Rockefeller Foundation. You see these, and the minutes, and what this is a congressional investigation, that the summary of which is contained in that findings that they published in 1955, and you begin to see the agenda that was carried out in the first half of the 20th century, many of which are still going on now, and those findings would let you understand that there's not random occurrence. Most believers, most Christians, orthodox religious people believe in intelligent design. They believe there's a creator, and yet the media would tell you, and most politicians would tell you, that things that occur are random occurrence. They're not connected. There's no cause and effect. But in point of fact, if you deny God the creator, then man has to do a lot of planning to attempt to act as God and control so much of the activity and influence so much of the activity that goes on, not just in this country, but in other countries as well.
Well, you do think they're going to be able to get the prayer out of Annapolis and out of the rest of our military institutions?
You know, one thing that's really interesting, if you have ever come into an old room or something in the dark and turned on the lights real quick and saw the roaches run for cover, you know, it is a pattern, and you and I have seen it happen. If the American people rise up, get mad enough, rise up and expose some light on it, they crawl back. That doesn't mean the agenda's over. It means that it's not going to advance. They really do believe that if they can gain ground and the American people are indifferent, they're diverted, they're heavily entertained, their lives are so busy, there's too many electronic communications, too much instant communications, but if they will focus attention, believe me, they can still make some difference. They can slow this down, they can keep it from happening, and I can tell you, it's a great reason to tell people, if you've got a kid thinking about re-enlisting in the military, you've got a kid thinking about joining the military, I can assure you, if the Congress of the United States is not going to slam the door on this and denounce the effort, you know, you can tell them that if these kids don't have a prayer when they go in harm's way, if they're not going to be able to experience leader-led prayer, which has existed in the American military since before the Declaration of Independence, unbroken, if they're going to abandon that, you're not going to have anything to do with the American armed services. I think they'll listen. I think they'll pay attention. So I encourage you that this is time, one of the times when I think your congressman needs to hear from you, writing both at the home office as well as in Washington, and make a call to both places and tell them that you're incensed about this effort and the groups that are trying to take prayer out of the Naval Academy.
You know, I think it's so interesting that when the Supreme Court opens its session, the choir comes in and says, God save the United States and this honorable court. God save the United States and this honorable court. The Supreme Court justices know that God is part of the tradition of our country. In fact, above where they sit, they're carved into marble as a replica of the Ten Commandments. So the reason they are trying to take it out of our society is because they realize, of course, that if they can destroy the religious foundation of America, why America, as we've known it, will cease to be. And, of course, they've targeted the children in schools. Congress opens with a prayer. The Senate opens with a prayer. So why can't our children have any exposure to religion in their schools? Because they're after the next generation. This is a long-term plan. This is well-organized, well-orchestrated, and tremendously well-financed.
Well, the next thing you can do is, I can assure you, I was on a governor-sponsored program to look at, Kentucky's the first state in the Union to outlaw censorship of history because of the suppression of our founding documents, all of which you mentioned God. First state to do it in 92. Passed a state law to that effect, encouraging people to teach history from the founding documents and the writings of the congressional record, the writings of our statesmen, the presidents, what have you. Tennessee and Mississippi adopted it the next year, 17 other states started the process, but the people grew weary and they didn't press it. The point I'm making here is that you can make a difference, and I'll tell you, you can look your child in the eye, you look at your parents in the eye, and you can tell your children, if they're not taught at home about the nature of this government, to why we became an independent republic, who the founding, the 250 founding fathers were, all of whom but five or six were Orthodox Christians, and why this nation was called a Christian nation by four Supreme Court cases. You need to teach them at home. And if you don't get a hold of solid materials and teach them at home, they will not know. They will not learn in public school. They will not learn in college. They won't learn in the finest colleges. The New York Times did a survey several years ago, very easy historical kinds of questions for the top graduate seniors at Brown University, Princeton, Harvard, Yale, the like. And the average score on that test, I mean, it was like, you know, who did America declare its independence from? Those kinds of questions. And the average score of these college seniors from the best schools was about 55%. I have a copy of the results of that. I have a copy of the questions. The parents, turn off the television. Television eats books. You need to Radio Liberty and other resources. Gary DeMar, there's many people around. David Barton, Wall Builders. We've got some excellent things at First Principles. Press.org. Get in touch with us, and you can teach your children the founding American history. The homeschool movement in this country is a great encouragement to a lot of us. There's over 4 million kids. They've been doing extremely well. Son Shelby, who was about to graduate from VMI. Was homeschooled all the way through. He's a sergeant. Was mobilized. He's in Iraq right now, leading 14 Marines, doing as well as can be expected in hard circumstances. And got a great attitude, very positive attitude. But homeschooling is a very, very effective thing for folks to do. And we've got duties and responsibilities for the Commonwealth, and not just to worry about our private wealth. So you've got that responsibility. They won't get it in church. They won't get it in the other institutions. In fact, there's something you can do concrete to be sure your kids know why America's national motto is "In God We Trust."
And, of course, at one time, everybody knew that America was a Christian nation. I mean, 50 years ago, this was common knowledge. Everybody in the world knew America was a Christian nation. And now, if a politician has the courage to get up and say that, why, he'll be attacked by the New York Times and by the Wall Street Journal and by the Washington Post, and everybody in the media will attack him until eventually he has to back down.
The first governor of Mississippi, Republican governor of Mississippi, said that at the National Governors Conference up in Chicago, quoted from that opinion, had the opinion in his hand, and was immediately denounced by the chairman of the Republican National Committee for quoting a unanimous Supreme Court case from 1892 that's never been overturned.
In fact, we actually have that decision. That was the case of the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States, and the fact that the average American has never heard of that Supreme Court case simply is a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Well, our guest is Colonel Ron Ray, of course, who was a retired Marine Corps colonel, certainly has been on a number of government commissions. In fact, you were on a presidential commission at one time, weren't you, looking into the homosexuals and women in the military. And didn't David Horowitz tell you about what the communists had done to try to undermine the very foundations of this country?
I was in 1992. President Bush appointed 15 commissioners to look at whether there was any difference between men and women that had military significance, and it was to look at the proper role and assignment of women. And yes, it was a very controversial. Dick Cheney appointed 14 people of the 15 he nominated who had already decided women in combat was a great idea. The Bush White House knocked five of Cheney's picks off and put the Gang of Five in, who all thought men and women were profoundly different and that had military significance. And in the course of the hearings held all over the country during 1992, we spent $4 million, and yes, we determined that men and women were different and it had military significance. And we had an Israeli, wonderful man came over from Israel, one of the top, Martin Van Crevel. I got to be great friends with he and his wife. And he said, "I love you Americans, you're so expansive." In the Israeli army, the heaviest thing a woman carries is her purse. We would have decided this issue over lunch. We decided in the 1948 so-called war for independence, we decided that we would not use women in the combat arms. And you know, and he gave testimony which was very politically incorrect, because they'd been, the media has told everybody that Israel is one of the nations that very successfully uses, you know, women in combat, and he put that to the lie right away. But in Los Angeles in August of 1992, the commission was about evenly split on the role of women in the military, wanting women in the combat arms, and seven not. It was a four-star general, retired four-star general, who was sort of undecided, army general. In fact, that general that led the Bush attack into Panama, which is another story, Max Thurman, General Max Thurman, who's dead now. But in any event, David Horowitz, subject to penalties of perjury, this is an official statement to a public body, the media was all over it, said that, I was raised by two Bolshevik parents, I was dedicated to the overthrow of this country and subversion of all of its institutions, and we'd have achieved our objective with most of your institutions by the late 60s, except the armed forces was a standout. It was still connected to the founding principles, and we, revolutionary councils, determined that the best way to destroy the military was to promote the notion of women combat and homosexuality in the armed forces.
And that's exactly what, of course, Bill Clinton wanted to bring in, but fortunately he wasn't able to.
That's exactly right. I mean, that agenda has gone on since 1972. This meetings he described occurred after Tet, the late 1968-69 time frame. He mentioned Ron Dellums in California and Pat Schroeder as being in on those meetings at the time he gave that testimony in front of many media figures. Ron Dellums was chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. Pat Schroeder was chairwoman of the House Armed Services Committee Personnel Subcommittee. The two most important people in the House.
We're going to have to let you go. We're out of time. God bless. We'll get you back again real soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Colonel Ron Ray. Heed what he has to say. Understand America was founded as a Christian nation, and if you, of course, we have so many books that go into the background of that. We actually offer in our Millennium Syllabus a complete copy of that case of the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States, as well as many other documents. But so many of the syllabuses we put together have the documents in it you're not going to get elsewhere. And we have that Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States there, where the Supreme Court gave 82 reasons why America was a Christian nation. You can go down to the local courthouse and you can ask there, you go to the library and you ask for that case, they'll actually get you a copy of it. That's where I got my initial copy. Every county has a law library, and in that law library they can look up 1892, the case of the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States. Understand, it's true. The Supreme Court, prior to the Masonic takeover of the Supreme Court in 1941, always held America was a Christian nation. But you see, the secret societies, and there are many of them, of which Masonry is just one, have always hated Christianity and had another agenda. And that was to create a secular society, have America dominate the world, and use our military and financial clout to force all nations under this control of the one world dictatorship. That's what it's about. That's what's going on today. Now, we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to helping. We have an opportunity to add 18 stations, and many of these are major stations, to our evening broadcast. But quite frankly, we need your help. And if you think it's important that we reach the people in the time that God has given us, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If there's any way you can make a pledge to help, and I know many people can't, but if you are in a position to, why, we'd love to hear from you. And we'll let you know whether or not we're going to be able to go ahead with this. We think we are, but quite frankly, we still need some additional help. And then, of course, we hope many of you will want to get the material that we have. We actually have the book, America's God and Country, by Bill Federer. It gives you the quotations, 850 pages of quotations from the Founding Fathers about their Christian beliefs. And then, of course, we have Original Intent by David Barton, going into the fact there is no wall of separation between church and state. It was created by wicked people who would destroy this country. We have another book called The Wall of Separation. And then we, of course, have Tim LaHaye's The Faith of Our Founding Fathers. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know what's going to happen financially, you want to get our DVD talk on the coming financial crisis, and we hope you want to get along with that, a booklet we put together, it's about 50 or 60 pages, and it's entitled A History of Money. But you can't understand what's happening financially unless you go to our website and begin pulling down some of our newsletters there on the occult organizations that rule the world. Our May and our June newsletters dealt with the occult hierarchy. There is an occult hierarchy. If you go to Google and you punch it in, you'll find this term used over and over again by the Theosophists. Adolf Hitler was a Theosophist. Margaret Sanger was a Theosophist. Thomas Edison was a Theosophist. Some of the leaders of the world are tied into this movement. In fact, our June newsletter, and you can get that on our website, tells you about one of the most wealthy men in the world who actually brought the writer of a book called Extraordinary People, Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings into the movement. You want to get our latest newsletter. We'll send you a free copy of the June newsletter if you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 or go to our website at radioliberty.com and pull it down. That's the June newsletter, The Occult Hierarchy, Part 2. Remember, we do carry the Berkey products, both the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.